It's a real joy to be here this morning, and man, what do you say after that? And but I appreciate the grace of God, don't you? I had a lady Sunday, she joined our church a few weeks ago, and she came up to me Sunday morning, she said, "Preacher, I really need to talk to you and your wife, and you have any time this week?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be gone part of the week, and maybe we could meet on Thursday morning." And then, of course, I had to go back and change that because something came up on Thursday. And I said, "I'll meet with you tonight after church." I don't know her real good. I know she's saved. I talked to her about that. And she joined our church a few weeks ago, faithful to church. And I said, "My wife and I will meet with you tonight." She's 50 years old. I said, "We'll meet with you tonight after church." And we met after church. And she sat there and she began to weep and cry. And she lost her mom and dad within 3 months apart. And she said, "I can't deal with this." She said, "I can't live. I can't go on. What am I going to do? How am I going to get by?" I said, I cannot deal with this. I don't know what." I said, "I go to the grave every day and sit there at the tombstone and talk to my mom and daddy every day." And I mean, it was tough. I'm telling you, she sat there and wept for a good while, and it was tough. And I began to talk to her, and I said, "Miss Lisa, I know where you're at. It's not been long ago I sat right where you're sitting right now. It's not been long ago my wife's dad, my dad both passed away real close together. And I said, I want to let you know something today. Your mom and dad's not in that graveyard. They're not there." And I said, the thing before my dad went home to be with the Lord, just a few days before my dad died, I got to myself and I said, it dawned on me, my daddy's leaving. He's not going to be here. He's going to be gone. He's not going to be here. And it dawned on me. And I said, "Man, I got to get on top of this. I got to have some help, Lord." Boy, the Lord began to work in my heart. And God showed me, and God worked in my heart and said, "Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be all right." Said, "I'm going to take him. You're going to be here, but he's going to be there." And I began to talk to that lady Sunday night. And I said, "Lisa, your mom and dad's not in the cemetery." I said, "They're not there." I said, "I know where my daddy's at. I know where he's at. I just can't get to him right now, but I know where he's at. I'm not lost him. I know where he's at." And I said, "I can't talk to him right now, and I can't call him right now, but I know where he's at." And I said, "It's not going to be long. We're going to get together again." Man, that's good, Brother Johnson. I appreciate that this morning. I'll tell you, that'll help you, buddy. And I appreciate that this morning. Well, I got to get my thought, and I will let you out on time. And we'll go eat dinner in just a minute. I want you to look in Philippians chapter number 3. And Philippians chapter 3, I want to use one verse as a springboard this morning and talk to you a little bit out of these chapters this morning. I called Dr. Wade this morning. I was in Macedonia for several years. And I called Dr. Wade this morning with a mission board there. And I heard him quote this many times. But I didn't want to misquote what he said. So I called him and asked him this question this morning. I said, "Preacher, tell me again. How many missionaries kick out of the harness and really never get to the field? And those that do go to the field, how long they stay?" He said, "One out of every 50 missionary gets to the field and stays one term." There's something wrong somewhere. But let me tell you the story behind that, or part of the story behind that. A lot of them don't get to the field. A lot of them stop before they ever get to the field. And that's what devotation's about, is getting your support, getting to the field, doing that God has called you to do. I've seen a lot of them start, and I've seen a lot of them stop. And there's something wrong somewhere. If those figures are true, there's something wrong somewhere. Something's not right somewhere. And the majority of those figures are true about the ones that never get there. They start, they go on devotation, but after a while, they fizzle out. And by the way, if God didn't call you, you will fizzle out on that deputation. I'll guarantee you that. And but I'll share some thoughts with you this morning, and I'll finish them tomorrow about deputation. And I said, I thought about this morning when I said about this again. You see, we only have a one change to make a one-time impression, just one. And how you say and what you say and how you say it is going to make a lasting impression. We just have a one chance to make that lasting impression, and we need to do it good while we're doing it. I like these verses right here, this one verse I want to read to you this morning. Notice in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." This one thing I do. Not two, not three, not seven, Paul said this one thing, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, this one thing I do. And as we do deputation and raise our support, we need to realize that this one thing I do, this one thing I do. He mentioned Brother Stephen Brock while ago, and 36 years of preaching and pastoring, and all those years I was in missions. I don't know that I've ever met a missionary that had one thing in mind as much as Brother Stephen Brock. He lived deputation. That's all he studied was get meetings and get to the field. This one thing he did. I thought about him, and he would call me quite often, and we'd talk on the phone. And I'm going to be real honest with you. When I went with Brother Stephen to the mission field, took him to the mission field, and we stayed together for a few days on the field. I didn't tell him, and I would have never told him this, but in the backside of my mind, hello, but he's on the field today. And in a few months, year, 2 years, whatever it was, got his support and was gone. But Brother Stephen had one thing in mind, that's get his support and get to the field. There's another guy by the name of Stephen. I don't know if you ever met him or not. Brother Stephen Sykes. Brother Stephen is in New Mexico. And Brother Stephen, when God called him, I preached mission conferences in his home church. And when God called Stephen to the mission field, well, I remember when God called him to preach. And God worked in his heart. You know Brother Steve, don't you? God worked in his heart. And then God called him to the mission field. And I never will forget. Brother Stephen Sykes, you don't know this, but he was rolling in money. He was making six figures a year. He was making the money. He was a CPA for a company. Did 80-some million dollars a year. He overseen all that stuff. And Brother Stephen Sykes, very, very smart. When Stephen started on deputation, surrender to missions, come to Macedonia, he's the most organized man I've ever been around in my life. He makes me nervous. He's the most organized guy I've ever been around in my life. And he began to put a plan together how to get that support and how to get to that field. And I will tell you, that's all he lived for about 2 years. He lived, ate, slept, dreamt, studied. That's all he studied about. This one thing I do. And I want to use that as a springboard this morning and talk to you a little bit about deputation this morning. Let me say this before I get to what I want to say. Don't think I'm mean and don't think I'm ugly. And you may not agree with everything I say. I don't even agree with everything I say. So you might not agree with everything I say, but I don't want you to think I'm mean and ugly, but I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. And I believe at the end of the day, I believe it'll help you. I want to say, and I'll say this before I get to my main thought. Nobody owes us anything. You say, well, preacher, they owe me support. That's where you're wrong. Nobody owes me anything. As a matter of fact, I deserve absolutely zero. I don't even deserve the grace of God. And none of us merit the grace of God. None of us deserve that, this in His grace. And nobody, don't get the idea in your mind when you start deputation, boy, they owe me, they're going to take me on. You won't have to be on deputation long. You'll find out that's probably not true. You'll find that out real quick. Nobody owes you anything, and anybody does for you, it's the grace of God, every bit of it. Now, there's several things I want to say, and I'll just say this before I say that. For years and years when I was pastoring before I was in missions, I loved camp meeting. You're looking at one preacher that loves old-fashioned, heartfelt, go-to-meeting, camp meeting type preaching and singing. I love it. And when God put my wife and I in missions and I become the North American director for the mission board I was with, I had to change gears when it come to orientation. When it come time to come to the school, there's some times you need to slow down and just talk and convey your burden and try to help people. So I'm not going to preach. If you don't hear me preach, come tonight. But I want to teach to you, talk to you a little bit this morning about deputation. And this simple, down-the-earth, practical stuff, you already know it. And here's how I feel this morning. I feel like I'm the janitor and the hospital and all the doctors are sitting out here and here's the janitor. That's exactly the way I feel. I'm not just saying that I feel that. But I want to give you some things that I down through the years that I wrote down and some things I want to give you about temptation this morning. First of all, know how to call and how to get meetings. That's the very beginning of it. Knowing how to call and how to get meetings. And I want to say, first of all, on how to call and how to get meetings. First of all, to the missionary, I want to say, never approach a pastor at a revival meeting or a preacher's fellowship meeting or a camp meeting. Don't do that. When that preacher's in a church and you this and that or whatever, which camp meeting or whatever it is, let him enjoy the meeting. Don't approach him unless he allows you to approach him. I'm talking about a meeting. Don't just walk up and say, when are you going to have me in your church? You do that, he's probably not going to have you. Don't do that. Give him a break. I'm preaching good. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you what to help you. Don't do that to him. And don't approach him during that time. With preacher's fellowship, I've seen missionaries do that all the time. I have missionaries do me that way all the time. And I'm not fussing about that. I'll give them a meet if I can. I normally don't give them a meet, and I don't do that because I don't have a date book with me. But don't do that. Don't approach them that way. How to get meetings and how to call and so on and so forth. And I'll say, first of all, we're not to call. Number one, you say, you mean there's some places we shouldn't call as missionaries? Yes, sir. Number one, it probably is not going to do too much good to call Southern Baptist churches. Now, I'm not anti-Southern Baptist. Don't get what I'm saying. I'm independent Baptist. But I know some Southern Baptist preachers that preach the truth. But I'll tell you what I found out a long time ago. They're not going to support you too long if you're an independent Baptist missionary. Now, don't look at me like I'm just got in town. I'm telling you the truth. If they do take you on when they change pastors, you'll get dropped. And for the most part, and that's not always true, but for the most part. And what happens is you may have a buddy at Pastor Southern Baptist Church, and he's there for a few years. And after a few years, that man's gone, and they get a new pastor, and you on the field. And if a whole lot of what you got supporting you is coming from them kind of churches, guess what's going to happen? That can bring you off the field, friend. Call the right kind of church. I'm not telling you, and I had convention churches. Some of them that was in the association supported me when I was in missions. They went and died in the wool Southern Baptist churches that lean to the Quapta program and all that, but some of them by name did. But for the most part, that's not where you're going to get your support. I encourage you, don't call in that direction. You know, when God called me to be a missionary, I had pastored at that time 25 years. And in the town where I was at, I knew a lot of people. I knew a lot of business people. And we had business people in our town that goes to the First Baptist Church in our town that helped the church where I used to pastor. They give thousands of dollars to our church for missions. They didn't want to do it through the Quapta program, so they gave it to me and gave it to our church through missions. And businessmen, I'm talking about businessmen, had a lot of money. And when God called me to the mission field, boy, the devil told me this real quick. All you got to do is go rub shoulders with them guys. That's the wrong way to get support. Some of them did support me, but I didn't go ask for it. I didn't do that. So I want to say, first of all, where to call. Call the right places. Call the right churches. Call the right preachers. Call the right places. And I'll just say this as we call this morning. Never call when to call, when not to call. Never call a preacher at home unless you have to. Always call him in the office of the church. If any way possible, never call a preacher at home unless you have to. How many remember working on a job? Raise your hand. We got a bunch of people that's never worked on a job. Anybody worked 8-hour day job? When you got home, guess what? Are you listening? And I'm not saying pastoring's a job, but it is a job. And when that man gets home, listen to me, unless you'd have to, never call him at home unless you have to call him at home. And never do that. And let me just say this to you also. Never call a preacher on his cell phone. If you don't want to meet him, call him on his cell phone. I know Jay's going to look at me when I got into this. And if this is bothering you, you're going to be in bad shape before I get up. Huh? Don't do that. Unless the preacher, now if he tells you to call him on the cell phone, that's fine. If he tells you to call him at home, that's fine. But don't do that unless he tells you to do that. Unless there's absolutely no other way. If there's no other way, maybe you have to do it. But I promise you, that's not what a pastor wants you to do. Don't call him. Call him in the office. And if he's not there, leave him a message and he won't call you back. Most of them don't. And most of them don't. Some of them will. But I'm just telling you this morning, never do that. And I tell you one sure thing. You'll never get support by giving a preacher's cell phone to another missionary. I know that was going to be good this morning. We're about ready to jump some pews. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, that will hurt you if you do that. And he'll find it out if you do that, unless he tells you to do that. Now, they some pastors, they don't care. And I'll be real honest with you, it don't bother me if you call me on my cell phone. It doesn't bother me one bit. I learned when I went in and went back to pastoring, I sure did have to do some changing on my cell phone. I got a whole lot more minutes now than I used to have. And I had 53 men that I helped, and I was their field director. And the majority of those 53 men had Verizon phones. And I believe everybody saved got a Verizon phone. Huh? So you talk free, amen. But it won't bother me if you call me on my cell phone. It won't bother me much if you give my cell phone to somebody. That doesn't bother me. But I know some preachers that bothers. I know some pastors that really bothers. So I'll say, if possible, when calling and get meetings, when possible, call him in the office. Don't call him in the home unless you have to. Don't call him on the cell phone unless he tells you to do that. You know, preachers are busy. Y'all know that. And this in the hospitals, different stuff. So I want to say, first of all, never call them on a cell phone. Never call them home unless you have to. Call the office when you can. When to call. When you get in your meetings, when to call. Preacher, when's a good time to call preachers? Let me tell you when's not a good time. Then I'll tell you when the good time is. Number one, never call a pastor on a Monday morning. Hello, Tokyo. Don't call a preacher on Monday. You know, everybody likes a day off once in a while, don't they? And if I'm going to take a day off, I probably don't never do that. But if I was going to pick a day and take a day off in the ministry, I'd take Monday off. And I'm telling you, when I get done on Sunday night, man, I'm down. I'm tired. I'm give out. I'm telling you, I teach the new converts class at our church. We have it about four times a year. And when you teach class, preach Sunday morning, have two or three meetings on Sunday evening, a couple meetings on Sunday night after church, then preach Sunday night. You're not ready to play ball when you get home on Sunday night and Monday morning. You kind of want to lay back sometime. And Monday morning is not a good time to call a pastor. On deputation, Monday morning is not a good time to call a pastor for more reasons than one. Because some of them looking support us sometime on Monday morning. Some of them looking for somebody to help them on Monday morning sometime. And Monday morning is never a good time. I'll tell you another day is not a good time to call a pastor. Wednesday's not a good day because Wednesday, that pastor's getting ready for that Wednesday night service. Now, if he's got an assistant or a secretary, you can do that. And thank the Lord we got a good man that helps me. And he screams all that and he helps me with all that. Matter of fact, he got up this morning before daylight and drove 2 hours to the hospital for me this morning. But what I'm saying to you is this. Monday morning's not a good morning. Wednesday morning's not a good day. And I tell you some more times, not a good time to call a pastor. Don't call him on the weekend. So I call him on Saturday. That's not a good time to call. Now, I realize there's some exceptions to the rules, or sometimes you have to. And I know when you're still working and hadn't got full time on deputation, you have to do what you I'll say this before I say that. If you can, don't call after 5 o'clock in the evening. Don't you never call a pastor at night. Never call a preacher at night. I had a preacher call me one night at 11 o'clock, a missionary wanting to meet him. You said, you give him one, I shot him. Woke me up out of my sleep, dead sleep. This is so-and-so, and y'all know who he is if I call his name. This is so-and-so, when can I come by? I said, never by. You don't call a preacher at night. And you say, preacher, you know we got more sense now around here, but well, I'm just telling you, you already know what I'm teaching, but I'm just telling you this morning, never do that. Never call him on cell phone. Never call late at night. Never call, if possible, don't call after 5 o'clock in the evening. If possible. Now, I know sometimes you have to do that. And I know sometimes if the preacher, and every bit of this has some compromise in it. If the pastor tells you to call him at 11 o'clock, call him at 11 o'clock. If the pastor tells you to call him at 3:30 in the morning, get up and call him at 3:30 in the morning. But don't do it unless he tells you to do it. How to get meetings and how to get meetings. And then I'll say this right quick. How to get meetings, when to call, when not to call, so on and so forth. Then when you call, let me give you this right quick. When you call, as a pastor, let me say it this way. As a pastor, when a missionary calls me, I want to hear what he's going to do real quick. I've had missionaries tell me this right here. I've called 210 pastors and didn't get a meeting. If you've called 210 pastors, good pastors, and didn't get a meeting, hey, something wrong somewhere, and I believe I know where it's at. Y'all still like me? I'm telling you, there's something wrong somewhere if you call that many preachers and don't get a meeting. When I as a pastor, I want to say this to you this morning. As a pastor, when a missionary calls me, I want to hear four things real quick. And by the way, I always do handouts. I'm not talking about this kind. I'm talking about, I always do a printout handout of what I teach. Last week, I was gone the last part of the week in Indiana, and I didn't get it all typed up to get it handed out to you. But number one, how to get meetings. When you call as a pastor, I want to hear four things real quick. Number one, I want to hear what church y'all are. Number two, I want to hear where you're going. Number three, I want to know if you're going to be a church planter or what you're going to do. Is it going to renown the church planting? And number four, I want to know what mission board you're with. As a pastor, I want to hear those four things real quick. And I want to say as you call, make that call as brief as possible. Make that call brief as possible. Do what you say it quick. My name is Alan Barker. I'm out of the Walters Grove Baptist Church. I'm North American Field Director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions. I'm helping in church planting. And I'm with Macedonia World Baptist Missions, and I want to see if there might be a possibility to come by sometime and share a burden. If you've got an opening, fine. If you don't, God bless you. Pray for us. Quick. Are you listening to me? You say, well, I just don't do it that way. Well, do it any way you want to do it. I'm just telling you what will help you this morning. And a pastor is busy this morning. A pastor wants to hear it quick. Number one, what church y'all of? And that matters. I hear missionaries get up all the time. Never have no idea what church y'all of. Never have no idea what church y'all of. I hear them get up all the time and they present the work and sit down and never know what mission board they're with. And you say, is that important? That's very important. When a missionary calls me that's with Prayer Baptist Missions, that's done answered 90% of my questions. That's already answered. I respect this board. I respect Brother Tingen and Brother Stewart, and I respect this executive board. I know most of them. And I know what you believe, and I know what you teach. If I don't know the church you're out of, I do know the mission board. And that speaks volumes to a pastor. So it's important, first of all, to say, I'm out of Gateway Baptist Church. I'm going to California and start a church. I'm serving through Prayer Baptist Missions, and my burden is to get to the field and start a fundamental church now, or whatever you're doing is going to renown to getting churches started. And I'll just say this to you. Even before you call, saturate what you're going to do that day in prayer. But you'll get up and you'll have a plan, and I'll say a little bit about that plan in just a minute. In the mornings when you get up and take that day to call, spend some time in prayer before you pick that telephone up. Say, God, work on the other end. God, move on that pastor's heart before I ever call. I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing what God will do if you'll just pray. It's amazing how God will touch hearts and change minds and change lives. All you got to do is just pray. Saturate it in prayer. Saturate it in prayer. I better hush. I'm going to preach. Saturate it in prayer. And I'm telling you this morning, that's what gets the job done. God can touch their heart before you ever call. So when you call, say four things. Say it quick. Number one, what church y'all of? Number two, where you going? Number three, is it going to be church planting or tied to church planting? And Brother Worley here, I was saying about him. Transporters for Jesus. Did you know that's helping start churches? That's the bottom line of that. He wants to get that missionary to the field so he can help get churches started real quick. Can I tell y'all something right quick? There's everything in the world out there raising support today. Everything in the world. Somebody told me the other day, said, can I come to your church to present my ministry? I'm doing an internet ministry. I said, probably not. All kinds of stuff. I've never heard tell such stuff in my life. It's going on right now. If it's not soul winning, starting churches and renowning to that, I'm probably not going to have a whole lot to do with it. And so I would say saturated the prayer. And when you call, make that call real brief. Don't tie the pastor up. And I'll tell you what don't say to a pastor. Can I borrow somebody's cell phone? I need a phone to illustrate my point. Never say, man, what do you do for a living? Never say when you call, never say this to a pastor. Hey, how you doing this morning? He don't want to hear that. Sometimes he ain't doing good and he don't want to talk about it. You say, preacher, you're being unfriendly. I'm not being unfriendly, I'm being right. Don't ever say, how you doing today? Number two, don't never call and say, Brother Ray, this is so-and-so and I'm going to so-and-so. If a missionary calls me and calls me by my first name, I deserve nothing but hell. But the position that I serve in does deserve more than that. What are you saying, preacher? It's so disrespectful to call a preacher by his name. I don't do that. I do not do that. My daddy taught me better than that. And I'll tell you, you call a preacher and call him by his name, he's probably not, every preacher might not feel that way. But that position, y'all respect it highly. Am I preaching good? Y'all looking at me strange. I will tell you this morning, hey, never call him by his name. Never ask him how he's doing. And never say, how's church doing? Well, he don't want to talk about why his church doing. It might not be doing good. If he wants to talk and he wants to initiate the conversation, let him do it. And talk to him all day if he wants to talk. But let him lead it. Hey, Brother Burke, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. How you doing? Well, I'm doing good. You know, I had one of the best meetings I ever had in my life this week. You know where I... And here they'll go for 30 minutes. I know y'all weren't going to like me when I got up. Pastors don't want to hear about your meetings. Get to the point, man. Get to the point. I say that sometimes. I say, now what is you calling about today? What do you need? Are you listening to me? I'm telling you the truth this morning. Never call him by his name. Never ask him how his church is doing. Now, if he wants to talk about the church and tell you about the church, that's just fine. That's wonderful. But get to the point. Get to those four things I said. And again, don't get sidetracked. Don't get talking about, boy, I'll tell you one thing, glory to God, we had a meeting over at Gateway. You ought to have been there, for you know what happened. No, but I'm getting ready to find out. I'm not being ugly. Please don't take it that way. I'm telling you, get to the point. Now, again, I want to reemphasize this. If he wants to talk, let him talk. And I have missionaries tell me that all the time. Boy, I called a preacher, and he was so discouraged. And after I talked to him about the meeting, he just poured his heart out to me. Now, if a preacher does that, listen to him. Pray for him. Send him an offering. Help him buy him a meal. Do something. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But let him initiate it. Don't you do that. Because he's busy. He's busy. Preachers do more than play golf and eat pancakes. I'm telling you this morning, he's busy. So I want to say when to call, what to say. Never say how you doing. Never call him by his name. Never ask him how. Even as a missionary, I never asked a preacher how his family's doing. Now, if he wanted to tell me, he could tell me. I wasn't being unsociable. I just believe you ought to get her done. Get to the point. Say what you're going to say and get her done. I tell my visitation workers that. I say, man, don't get a homestead. Say what you're going to say, do what you're going to do, and get gone. I tell my bus workers every Saturday, and when Brother Josh don't do it, I do. I say, hey, look, man, when you go to the door, tell little Susie and little John, hey, I'll see you in the morning. Don't miss it. Don't be late. We'll be right here. Don't be in the bed. We'll see you in the morning. I didn't ask that bus rider if he's going to ride the bus. That's dumb. You give them a reason not to ride, they'll give you one. Don't never ask them why they're going to ride. See you in the morning. We have a call them all at our church thing where we do a call them all. I'm sure y'all probably have them here. And I just dial a number or two, and two or three. Lord have mercy. Two or three numbers. I can't do this one. But two or three numbers, and within 30 seconds, I talked to 155 families. And that call them all is real breathe. See you in the morning. Hey, we're going to have a time at church tomorrow. Don't miss it. See you tomorrow. Bye. Now, I know y'all think I'm being short, but I'm telling you, get to the point. Get to the point. So first thing I want to say this morning is how to call and how to get meetings. When to call, where to call, how to call, what to say. And everything I've said for the last 20 minutes has flexibility in it. There's some things that's not concrete, but that is good rules of thumb to go by. And then the second thing I want to say this morning, and I'll be done in just a minute because I'm not going to get done. I'll finish tomorrow. Second thing I want to say to you this morning, when God calls you to the mission field and you become a missionary, get with a veteran missionary and get your plan together. You didn't hear what I just said, so I'm going to say it again. Get with a veteran missionary that's already done it. Get with that man that's already made 3,410,000 calls. He's made the mistakes and he's made the boo-boos, and let him tell you what he done not to. Get with somebody else. If something happened to my son tonight, and God forbid, and I hope that never happens, but if something happened to my son tonight, I'd probably go looking, Brother Mike Johnston. Get with somebody that's been there and has already done it. And I want to say to you this morning, as a missionary, if you're just getting started today, get with a veteran missionary. Get a plan together and get with a veteran missionary. Never be afraid to ask questions. Never be embarrassed to ask questions. How'd you do this? I tell you what I found out when I started going overseas preaching. Don't you never be embarrassed to ask questions. If you don't, you'll wind up in Tokyo, buddy. Are you listening? Don't be embarrassed to ask questions. And get with a veteran missionary and pick their mind. And I told Brother Mills out a while ago, and I really meant what I said. I'll buy him a big estate and two states if he'll give me that outline he just preached. Huh? Yeah. You say, you mean to tell me you'd use another man's outline? A man's a fool. That won't take another man's stick and beat the devil. Sure I will. And what I'm telling you this morning, when you start devotion, find your veteran missionary that's been there and done it and pick his mind. Are you listening to me this morning? And by the way, get a plan together. Don't get up off the pew and come to the pulpit and out of the seat of your britches, so to speak, and just spurt it out. Have you planned together? My name's so-and-so. We're going to so-and-so and start a church for the glory of God. Don't ramble. That bothers me. This on and on. And I have missionaries come by many, many, many times. I've seen this happen. Talk for 10 minutes and never tell where they're going and never tell what they're going to do. I'll tell you something this morning. That's not how to get support. Get you a plan together. How you going to... And can I just say this? I know if I didn't make you mad, I'm already going to do it right now. If you've got 10 minutes... Take 40 seconds and give your testimony, and then take the other 9 minutes and 20 seconds and convey your burden. I've heard missionaries get up, and I'm not criticizing missionaries. And I was born at so-and-so. My daddy's so-and-so. I never went to... And I know all that stuff. We know all that stuff. Tell it in about 30 seconds. They're not here to hear your family history. They're to hear about where you're going, what you're going to do. Hello! You say, every preacher ain't as mean as you are. I know it. I'm just telling you, there's nothing wrong with giving a testimony. Nothing wrong with that. And when I'm talking about giving a testimony, I'm talking about how you got saved and all that. It don't take me long to tell how I got saved. Hallelujah. 22nd day of October, 1970, Holy Ghost come where I was and convicted me and saved me. I'm excited about it. Let's get on with the business now. Huh? And listen to me. I'm honest with you. Get you a plan together. Don't go to the platform off the top of your head. And there's times it's not going to be word by word by word by word. Program. And by the way, I don't like that kind of stuff. Program word by word by word by word. There's flexibility in that. But in your mind and in your heart, have it together. I've been preaching a long time when God called me to be a missionary. I've been pastoring a long time. I've been pastoring 25 years. When God called me to be a missionary. And I didn't have all the answers. Man, I don't even have all the questions. Still don't. Wonder sometimes what I'm doing. But when God put in my heart to be a missionary, my wife and I put in the front of my Bible, and I know y'all don't believe this, but I really did. I had me a little thought and a little plan right in front of my Bible that kept me going straight. See, I like to run rabbit sometimes. You ever run a rabbit? When I did present my work, bam, 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 right down the line, where I'm from, where I'm going, what I'm going to do, bam, 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 bam. Are you listening to me this morning? Get with a veteran missionary. Get with somebody that's already done it. And say, how'd you do that? How'd you get your support? These guys get the support and go to the mission field real quick. Talk to them. these guys that somebody's doing something right. They're conveying the burden. I'm going to say a whole lot about that tomorrow. They're conveying somebody's doing something right. These guys that raise their support in just a few months and go off the mission, somebody's doing something somewhere right. Huh? Yeah. And what I'm telling to you, what I'm saying to you this morning, get your plan. And I'll say this now, and I'm going to hush because we've got to go eat. When you get done presenting your work, as you get your plan together, always at the end of your presentation, tie soul winning and church plant and do it. Don't never forget that. I don't care what you do in missions. At the end of the day, it's reaching souls and starting churches. That's the end of the day. Brother Mayo back there is going to work in the office here, and Brother Jeff that works in the office here, and others that work in the office here at Prayer Baptist. At the end of the day, I know they're back there in the office, and I know they're doing office work, and I know they're running computers. But here's what I want to say to you. At the end of the day, they're helping men of God. They're helping missionaries. They're helping works and churches being started around the world. Tie that to it. Tie that to it. Pastors want to hear about church planters. Pastors want to hear about a work that's going to be established somewhere. And whether it's working in a school, whether it's working in an orphanage, whether it's working in a children's home. The bottom line to every bit of that is winning souls and starting churches out of that. That's the bottom line. I am a church planter. I believe in church planting. I believe the Great Commission's give the local church, and out of that local church comes those missionaries that goes out into the world. And the bottom line to every bit of that is to win souls and to teach people about God and start churches and reproduce ourselves and go somewhere else and do it again. And that's the teaching of the New Testament. And boys went out from the church of Antioch, started churches, and come back, rehearsed in the year of the other churches what had happened in the year of Antioch. So I want to say to you, I've just said two things. I got to hurry. I'm done. Know how to call, how to get meetings. Get with a veteran missionary. Number two, get with a veteran missionary. And get your plan together. Tomorrow I want to talk to you about scheduling. Talk to you about presenting your burden. Talk to you about... Tell you the rest of it tomorrow. I wasn't too mean, was I?